T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Instead of chasing people around,
yeah,
you guys are out hunting people now, and it's just a nice change of tempo.
Yep, agreed.
F*** these people.
You're listening to sound of Minneapolis police officers as they were trying to do crowd control in the wake of George Floyd's murder during the uprisings last year. That video was released a year, more than a year, after it actually happened. And it is renewing concerns about the lack of accountability and the lack of transparency in MPD, that are being investigated currently, as we know, by the Department of Justice. I'm super excited about our next guest, Paul.
I can tell.
I mean, I'm a little nerdy because I've been fangirling all morning. And Georgia, I don't mean to embarrass you, but I have been following your work on Instagram, and I've just seen how you cover stories. And for those of you who don't know her, you should know her. Her name is Georgia Fort. She is an independent investigative journalist. Again, huge fan, and we're so grateful for your time in the studio today.
Jordana, thank you so much. And Paul, it's a pleasure to be here with you this afternoon.
You dig deep. You cover stories. You remain independent. And you cover stories that a lot of newsrooms don't have the manpower to really dig deep on. And today we're going to talk about the story of Jahlil Stallings. Jahlil was arrested on this night when police were shooting at protesters. He shot back at officers, not knowing that they were officers.
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct. Jahlil Stallings does have his license to carry a gun. And so could you imagine an unmarked vehicle? So there's no police lights. There's no MPD on the side. You have no idea who this is. And so Jahlil Stallings was shot. He didn't know it was a rubber bullet. And in that split second, being a gun carrier, he fired back. But that was a decision that almost cost him his freedom. Ultimately, what we saw unfold on the footage that was recently released, and it was used as evidence to clear his name, to get him acquitted. But what we saw on that footage after he realized that he had fired back and that those were police, he surrendered. He laid flat on the ground. He moved his weapon very far away from him. And then MPD officers can be seen kicking him and punching him as he's in this position of surrendering. And so I did have a chance to speak with his attorney, Eric Rice. He gave an overview of what happened and how he was able to get those charges against Jahlil dropped. Take a listen.
The people in the van stopped and started shouting, and that's when Jahlil learned that they were actually officers. So Jahlil put his weapon aside, laid on the ground, and waited for the officers to approach. When they did, they started striking and beating him. Jahlil remained surrendered and submissive, and he was ultimately arrested and charged with attempted murder for firing at the van.
So speak with us specifically about why this video wasn't released until after a year, and what role did it not being released have on the charges against Jahlil?
Well, it's hard to say exactly why this footage wasn't released sooner, but I do know that usually when there is an open investigation or there is some type of court proceeding that is happening, any footage, any evidence that is a part of that case typically will not be released. And so we know that this was evidence that was used in the court of law to actually fight against the charges that officers brought forth against Jahlil. I mean, this was a man who was charged with attempted murder. And while this was an incident that happened a year and a half ago, It's so relevant to today because it is renewing concerns as people are preparing to head to the ballot box and make a decision. How should we move forward in the city of Minneapolis? Today is the 48th birthday of George Floyd. He would have been 48 today. And here we are. We're still grappling. The city of Minneapolis is still grappling with how do we move forward? And while a year and a half is enough time to allow some of that urgency for change and those demands that were being made by thousands of protesters to be quelled, now this footage is renewing all of those thoughts, all of those questions about whether or not this is a department that truly can be reformed. I know we played the clip at the beginning of the segment of one of the most intense moments that was a part of all of that footage that was released, right? You hear an officer who clearly those officers had no idea that this footage was ever going to be seen publicly. This was a very private conversation that they were having amongst each other. But for them to talk about hunting protesters is so inhumane. And it definitely, I think, renews valid concerns of residents in Minneapolis who want to feel safe. And they not only want to feel safe by all of this gun violence that we're seeing happening in St. Paul and Minneapolis, but they want to know that the people who have taken an oath to protect and serve them are not going to talk about them in the capacity of, we're going to come hunt you. You know, that just is very brash, and it's very concerning.
Georgia, you talked about transparency and accountability. What comes next? This is a treasure trove, maybe that's the wrong word, of information for residents of Minneapolis as they go to the ballot box next month and decide what do they want MPD to look like. Can it be reformed? Do we start over? Do we form a Department of Public Safety? How do you think this specific case is going to impact the decisions that Minneapolitans are going to make here in just a few weeks?
Paul, it's become the talking point in all of these community debates that are happening. There was just a debate earlier this week at North High School where we heard from Reverend McAfee, who is advocating that people vote no. I mean, his church, his ministry is in the center of North Minneapolis. That is a community that is plagued with gun violence. We've seen over just the course of the last two or three months, several children shot and killed. And so Reverend McAfee at that debate, he said, we need police to deter this community violence. And yes, he says, yes, we also need reform, but he says we need police and people need to vote no on the ballot box. On the other side of that debate was Janae Bates for Yes for Minneapolis. And she spoke directly to the Jahleel Stallings case in why she thinks that people should go to the ballot box and vote for that public safety department, vote for something new, vote for something different than what the citizens of Minneapolis have been getting for so long. Take a listen to Janae Bates.
The reality about that, the videotape that has now been shown to the public, is that that happened over a year ago, which means that the mayor and Chief Arredondo probably knew about it a year ago, and that it was not given to the public, and that those officers, that sergeant, the lieutenant who lied, who beat Jahleel Stallings, a St. Paul man, broke his eye socket, were willing to let him go to prison for over a decade with their lie. That was going to just happen, and that we should just be okay, or we should be grateful that a newspaper had to sue to be able to get body camera image. That should not be.
And just to be clear for everybody listening, because the amendment is confusing. many people, and we've needed clarity on that in the past. Voting no means you want to keep the police department as a police department. And voting yes means wipe out the police department and form a division of public safety or form something totally different. Is that right?
And I would add to the latter part of that. If you vote yes, you're voting yes to a public safety department with police. And so I think there's been a lot of concerns and questions about would this public safety department eliminate police altogether? And the way that it has been explained to me in the research that I've done is not eliminating the police, but it's saying that if you call for your son or your daughter who's having a mental health crisis, the public safety department would have the ability and the authority to dispatch health professionals versus armed officers.
Georgia, is there any precedent for this? Has any police department in the United States gone through what Minneapolis is going through right now and totally reformed their police department, turned it into a department of public safety? Is there any precedent that you're aware of?
Not that's on my radar. And I hesitate to say that with 100% confidence just because I'm not a historian. But I know that there are other cities that do have the public safety department model. Mm-hmm. And so it's not necessarily a new idea. But regardless of whether or not there's a precedent for whether this type of transformation has ever happened in a city, the one thing that we're certain about here in the city of Minneapolis that no other city has gone through what we've gone through. And I would date that even back further before George Floyd. I think that that was a turning point. But I think that this conversation about police accountability, about transparency, about proper discipline in MPD started years before. And I think maybe Jamar Clark with the 18-day occupation was the first time that we saw significant outcry from community saying we need something different. And there wasn't a transformation then.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
To answer your question, Paul, I've spoken to people in Milwaukee, in Philadelphia, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Seattle. There have been reforms to police, which has taken away from people carrying guns and has been put into other public safety measures where different people can respond. It has been done in other cities. There is precedent for it. It's fairly new, so you don't have long-term studies about it, but it has been done with some success in other cities.
Well, and it's interesting that widely those models people haven't really looked to those models. There's not a lot of national coverage
right.
on those kinds of transformations that have happened. But the world is still watching Minneapolis. The world is still waiting to see how are we going to respond. I don't really think that the leadership in this community or the police agencies, the law enforcement agencies in this community have truly done anything that remarkable that has grabbed the attention of the country to say, oh, okay, this is how they're dealing with the aftermath of George Floyd. This is how they're changing. This is what they're doing to prevent another George Floyd from happening. And so I feel like while, yes, a lot has changed since George Floyd was killed, there's still a lot of change. Even on a federal level, there was the George Floyd Policing Act that was presented that was never passed. And so we had this huge racial reckoning across our country, across the world. And yet still, the question remains here today on the 48th birthday of George Floyd. What has changed?
Georgia, I'd like to keep the conversation going because I want to talk specifically about how you do your reporting as an independent journalist here and accountability on a part of the mayor and Chief Arredondo in light of the new video and this year that has passed. So we are live with Georgia Fort in studio on Instagram. Take a quick break and be right back to talk about your business. Hey, welcome back. We are talking with Georgia Fort. Georgia is an independent journalist that digs deep on stories that are happening around us every day. today. Today we are talking about the Jahleel Stallings story. He is the man who was arrested after Minneapolis police fired on him and he fired back in the wake of George Floyd's murder. So Jahleel has been acquitted of all charges. He has been released. He was a conceal and carry permit owner and gun owner, and all charges have been dropped against him. But we're talking about what happens next. With the release of this video, people are questioning what should happen with the police department in Minneapolis. And as you know, there is a vote on the ballot, yes or no. No means that you are voting against eliminating the entire police department. So you want to keep most of it as right. is. If you vote yes, it means you are voting for a new public safety organization to come in and take over the police department.
And during the break, Georgia, you mentioned that many people you encounter are changing their minds. You have the freedom, based on the data, based on new evidence, to change your mind. In light of the horrific shooting in St. Paul last weekend, I can't tell you the number of people, most of them who don't live in the immediate Twin Cities, but greater Minnesota, people say, there's no way I'm going to go to downtown Minneapolis to see a Twins game, to go to a restaurant. Until people feel safe, it's hard to even consider a full recovery right. from the pandemic. So when it comes to the MPD ballot question, what are you encountering?
So I'm hearing both sides. I'm hearing some people, and to speak to those who are changing their minds, you know, when you hear gunfire and you see it in front of you, it impacts you differently. And so you have people who are yes for Minneapolis, who have experienced gun violence in their own communities or have lost a loved one, who are now losing faith in the uncertainty of a new public safety department, that they don't really know what's going to come from that. And they don't really know what authority police will have under that new provision. Then on the other side, you have people who were saying that, yeah, they want the police to stay here. They're tired of the community violence, that having more officers would mean that that violence would be deterred. And then now you have this Jahleel Stallings footage that reminds them that police violence is also an issue that we're plagued with in this community. And so it really just, it varies by people's lived experiences in how they were thinking about this. And you have people who are still to this day undecided, and they don't know what is the best way to move forward. But I was inspired at another debate I attended virtually, where Mel Reeves said, you know, regardless what side we're on this issue, guys, we're in this together and we ultimately want the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that's to be safe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right. That's a good way to wrap up the meeting. Georgia, I'm intrigued by what you do. You are an independent journalist. You don't work for any of the big news organizations around the city. I think we need this kind of reporting, and your work is amazing because I've been following Georgia, and I want you to tell everybody where we can find you. But how do you get paid? How do you do what you do? How do you make time? How do you feel safe out there as an independent journalist? You're shooting your own stuff and editing your own stuff. So tell us about what you do.
Yeah, well, how do I make money? That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, it is.
independent journalism, especially in today's, you know, era of social media, right? It's a little bit easier because I can self-publish. I don't need an outlet to accept my story, to accept my pitches. If I think that something is significant and needs to be amplified, I can publish it straight online. And so I have focused the last 2 years on cultivating my own audience. And I still do work with mainstream media outlets here and there on different stories. But the majority of my income from doing this work comes from one-time contributions, from monthly supporters. I recently debuted a photo exhibit called Freedom of the Press, and that is accompanied with a photo book. Just, you know, kind of like a coffee table book. And that has very historic images. These were things that I didn't necessarily consider early on in my career as pathways for sustainability. But you do have to get creative because independent journalism, you know, I can't just go get sponsors for the kind of journalism that I'm doing. There's not many corporations who want to financially support the work that I'm doing. And so it is very much so community funded. And what I will say, I saw this revelation in the community, though, in the last year about just how important my work is, especially after Winston Smith. When he was fatally shot by a U.S. Marshal, there was a mainstream media outlet who falsely identified him as a murder suspect. And being independent, I was the only person in town from a media landscape that could point to that inaccuracy in a way that would help the public get the truth, right? That they did the due process of going on their website and putting a correction at the bottom of the article. But think about the way we consume news. If you shared an article, you read an article, you thought it was great, you shared it on your social platforms, are you going back to that article tomorrow and scrolling to the bottom of it to check at the bottom of the article to see if there's a correction?
Retraction, yeah.
You're not doing that.
Right, nope. Right.
And so it's a very ineffective way to correct mistakes. Mistakes happen. We understand that. Nobody's human. But the media should examine its correction policies. And the number one priority should be making sure we get accurate information to our audiences. Now, you guys know how this media thing works. You're not going to call out the name of your competitors. But when there's that type of gross inaccuracy floating around in the public, whose responsibility is it to make sure that people are informed accurately? And so here I am, I'm independent. I can say the name of my competitors and I can say that this was inaccurate so that the public can be informed properly. And then also being independently, now I can disrupt the norms and the processes and say, hey, we need better for this industry, because right now America's at a place where sensationalized headlines are only making our communities more polarized, and you know, people are living in these silos, and so there needs to be change. The same way the community is examining accountability in the criminal justice system is the same way that media professionals need to be examining the practices in our industry that are contributing. And oftentimes, media is being used as a vehicle to perpetuate harmful narratives. We saw it with George Floyd. The PIO put out a press release that said a man died of a medical complication during an encounter with police. And then we saw a citizen journalist, just a woman on the street with the phone, and her footage, it doesn't add up.
That.
It doesn't add up.
Boy, you touch on a lot of, there's a lot to unpack here, Georgia.
And unfortunately, we're going to be out of time, Paul.
Clickbait, plague of disinformation. I mean, I know, yeah. Jor and I and DJ believe there is such a thing as objective reality, and I applaud what you're doing. It's
Thank
very
you.
Entrepreneurial. We need it now more than ever. One last question, 1 minute left. Why don't you get the corporate support? Why is what you're doing anathema to corporations?
Maybe she will today.
I don't have that answer. You have to go to the corporations and you have to ask them, because I applied for the jobs. And like many professionals of color in the state of Minnesota, I was not afforded the opportunity to have those positions. And I'm speaking on facts. 70% of professionals of color are leaving this region. MSP is studying it. I couldn't get a job. I have more than a decade of experience, 2 Emmy nominations. And so I just said, hey, I don't need their platforms to tell these stories. And I just started unapologetically telling them through my website, georgiafort.com, and all of my social media pages.
Tell us what they are, because everybody should be following you.
You can go on any platform by Georgia Fort and find my work. Facebook is my lead platform. I have the most followers there, and I do a lot of live streaming there as well.
By BY Georgia, GEORGIA, Fort, FORT, on all platforms. We want to thank you so much for the incredible reporting and the time today, and we do hope you'll come back on the show.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to. Thank you both for the opportunity.
Thank you for what you're doing. Keep it going, Georgia. Good luck.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.